Hello and welcome to this episode of Macrosutra. I'm TCA Sharad Raghavan, Deputy Editor at The Print. And this time we have actually a set of good news to talk about. A lot of international agencies have been upgrading their growth projections for India. They've also mentioned some elements of concern, but the highlight is that they've been upgrading the growth numbers and we emerge again as the fastest growing economy in the world, a major economy that is, and that we're one of the few bright spots. So to discuss all of this, as always, we have with us Radhika Pandey, Associate Professor at NIPFB. Thank you, Radhika, for joining us. So now, Radhika, let's start with first, which are the major agencies that have done this, that have revised our growth upwards?
Yeah, so in the month of April, there have been three reports that have revised the growth projections for India upwards. The most recent is the IMF's World Economic Outlook. We know that it's a flagship publication by the International Monetary Fund, which comes twice a year, as well as there's a January update. So April is another flagship publication where the IMF has raised India's growth projection for the current financial year, that is FY25, to 6.8%. Earlier in the January update, the projection for the same year was 6.5.
Right.
Now it is 6.8. So there is an upward revision of 0.3 percentage points.
Which is quite significant.
Which is quite significant. In a matter of 3 months, it's quite significant. Then the next is the Asian Development Bank's report. Again, they come up with their Asia Development Outlook, which is called ADO. And there it's primarily focused on Asia's growth prospects. So there also the Asian Development Outlook has revised India's growth projection to 7%. So again, there is a from 6.7% to 7% for
the current same year. Amount they've increased it.
Yes, again, same amount. And then the last important report is by the World Bank. The World Bank came up with a South Asia update. So they come up with regional updates, dedicated reports on region. So this is a South Asia update report. And there also they have raised India's growth projection from by 0.2 percentage points. Earlier it was 6.4, now it is 6.6 for the current financial year, that is FY25. So most of the reports that we come across, we've seen that there has been an upward revision of 0.2 to 0.3 percentage points.
Right. So now the fact that all of them seem to agree that our growth is going to be faster by more or less the same amount.
Right.
Is that based on anything?
Yeah. So they give they talk about the driver. So, and sometimes the drivers are common. Sometimes the drivers are quite distinct that they are focusing on.
Right.
Particularly the IMF says that the boost to growth is coming from recovery in demand and from increase in India's working age population. So these are the two factors they attribute to the revision in growth.
Okay.
Whereas if we look at the Asia Development Bank report, they are talking about, again, they are talking about demand, but they are more specific. They say that it's a recovery in consumption, it's an improvement in exports, and also the investment. So they are talking, they are mostly talking about a broad-based growth, that there are various drivers of growth, and those drivers which were till now slowing down, we are seeing some improvement. So particularly exports and consumption. So that is the driver discussed in the ADO report. And the World Bank says that, you know, out of the entire South Asian region, the whatever growth is happening is attributed to India only, which is correct. There are other regions like Bangladesh, Nepal, Afghanistan, their growth is even below the pre-pandemic average. And in India also, but they say that in India also, growth is driven by public investment.
Which we've talked about.
They lay down a host of policy prescriptions to ensure that this growth is more broad-based and sustained. But yes, there are these different drivers of growth being talked about by different reports. They lay emphasis on different factors.
Okay, but now for all of these factors, things like demand and private investment and consumption, I can see how over 3 months, since these numbers come out regularly, how over 3 months the picture might have changed.
Right.
But about our demographics, how is the IMF saying that because of our working age population also, they're upgrading our growth? Because It's not like our population suddenly exploded in 3 months, right?
Absolutely, correct. That's there. So they are attributing this factor that, you know, because there is a, as compared to other countries, like because it's a relative, you know, it's a relative study. There are other countries, like if we see Greece and others, other countries, there has been a population collapse. Here we are seeing that there is a working age population, and the consistently increasing share of working population is something that will drive growth in the short to medium term. That's what they are saying.
I see.
Now, that is again something, you know, we can debate that by itself, it's not a factor unless it gets translated into gainful employment opportunities.
Right.
And it's a very small window. But yeah, this is what it's just a very, brief discussion on India's growth. But these are the two factors that they talk about.
And in fact, in our last episode itself, we were talking about how the quality of employment in India has actually been falling.
Right.
So that, I guess, is a concern.
Yes.
But now, zooming out from India and moving towards the developed world, there's been this fear, a lot of it has been a valid fear, but there's been a fear that the developed world, the economies are slowing down and they'll actually pull the global economy into a recession.
Right.
Now, what is the update on this?
Yeah, so there has been a significant change in that outlook, because till last year, when we were talking about the global growth drivers, we were saying that because of the slowdown in advanced economies, global growth is likely to remain subdued. And it's the emerging markets and developing economies that will push growth forward.
Mm-hmm.
But now what we are seeing is that advanced economies have exhibited resilience. It's not that they have sunk into recession, particularly US. 2022, there was this very dominant narrative that the US economy is going to slip into recession.
Right.
There were these projections that, you know, in the second half it will slip, or in the fourth quarter it will slip into recession, but that did not materialize.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a major factor that has led to the global growth projections being stable. We don't see a deceleration in global growth projection. In fact, there is a slight improvement in global growth projection despite the interest rate hike. So there was this concern that due to high interest rates, there will be increase in borrowing costs, and that will lead to demand subdue, lead to a decline in demand, and that will lead to lower growth. So, or there will be concerns about stagflation, recession, but all those did not happen principally because of two reasons. Firstly, that, you know, households used their previously accumulated savings to tide over this period of higher interest rates. So higher interest rates did not pinch at least the households very much. Why? Because they had savings accumulated during the COVID time. And that was mainly because of the kind of expansionary fiscal stimulus that was provided by governments of advanced economies during COVID time.
They just gave them money.
Yeah. So people had money, but that time they could not spend.
Right.
And then in 2022, 2023, they could spend. So they could spend without, undergoing the impact of rise in interest costs, and that resulted in growth remaining resilient. So household spending was one thing that drove growth, and that is one thing. And the other thing is that employment remained quite robust. We've talked about earlier also that you in the US particularly, the labor market is still going strong. So these were the two drivers of growth in advanced economies in the US that did not result in these economies falling into recession, and that is resulting in global growth being moving at a stable pace and not decelerating because of the rise in interest rates.
Right. Okay. And but now moving to the emerging markets and developed economies, where there was quite a lot of hope that this region is what is going to drive global growth.
Yeah.
But from what you're saying, it's only India.
It's only India. So, yeah. So, if we look at the emerging markets and developing economies, the way the IMF looks at it is that this emerging Asia within the EMDEs, emerging markets and developing economies, one big chunk is the emerging Asia, which mainly includes India and China. So, while India's growth remains strong, though there is a decline from, so the last year, FY24, IMF has projected a growth, or estimated a growth of 7.8%, which is even higher than the NSF's growth.
Right.
Because the second advance estimate suggested that the growth for FY24 will be 7.6. According to IMF, it is 7.8. So from 7.8, it is 6.8, which is still strong. But for China, there has been a sharp decline in the projection for growth. And that is the reason that has pulled down the developing Asia, the emerging and developing right. Asia component of the emerging market and developing economy. The other components have slightly risen. So again, the growth has been slight dip from 4.3% to 4.2% for the whole group as such,
right.
emerging markets and developing economies. So while advanced economy, there's a slight uptick. For EMD, there's a slight deceleration, mainly driven by the protracted crisis of the property sector in China.
Yeah, and because, I mean, of course, China being such a large economy, it can pull down the entire region.
Entire region, and we can talk about the various transmission channels through which it will pull down.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So why not? Let's get into that. I mean, what are the various ways? Because this, of course, will also impact India. So
absolutely.
What are the various ways that China can slow us down?
Yeah. So there are various channels. One is that, another thing is that China is facing a elevated debt. Debt to deficit ratio is also quite high in China, mainly because the governments have been giving a lot of stimulus packages to boost the economy, to ensure that the economy comes out of this phase of slowdown and low confidence where people are not spending. So if we look at the global debt to GDP ratio, it has risen again mainly because of the US and China. And if we talk about China, if China's debt to GDP ratio rises and if China slows down, China is one of the major sources of demand for commodities. You know, about 60% of the imports of commodities like metals, aluminium, all these soya bean, these are demanded by China. So if China slows down, the demand for these commodities will slow down and the revenues of commodity exporting countries will come down. So it will have a spillover impact on the other the trading partners of China, those who depend on China for their exports, for their demand of exports. That is one channel. The other is that China is one of the important sources of debt, bilateral debt to a number of countries.
Correct.
Other than
right.
the IMF, the multilateral debt, China is also an important source of debt. So that will dry up if this happens. And third is that China is also an important source of outbound direct investment to a number of countries, particularly the African countries. China provide the source of investment. So there will be drying up of external financing conditions in these countries. So those are, principally the various channels through which, if anything happens in China, that is not just restricted to China, be it a higher debt to deficits, higher or slowdown in growth. It's not just that it's a idiosyncratic event only limited to China. It will have spillover impact on global economy.
No, of course. And now, India, our trade relations with China are mostly that we import what they have to export.
Yes.
Is that likely to get impacted if China slows down?
Yeah, that will get impacted because we import a lot of, a lot of industrial raw materials, as we've spoken about earlier. Also, a lot of the raw material, the APIs for pharmaceuticals, they come from China. So that will have an impact. We also export to China. So it's not, China's slowdown is not a good news for any economy.
Absolutely.
So, because it is an important player in the overall global trade. And if China slows down, the entire overall trade, volume of trade will suffer.
Right, absolutely. We've talked about this before that China's misfortunes are not good news for us or for really for any country in the global economy. Now, so we know that the developed countries are largely doing better than we thought. All the Asian and emerging markets, except for China, are doing somewhat better than earlier. India is set to do better. But not everything is rosy and good news, right?
Yeah.
These reports have raised some issues. And surely things like the Russia-Ukraine war, Israel-Hamas, and now Israel-Iran, all of these things will continue to weigh on growth prospects?
Yeah, they will, because, you know, the underlying premise for the improvement in growth prospects has been the easing of inflation. You know, right. the main assumption that now inflation is easing from the peaks that we saw in 2022. And we've seen that in the data that inflation is easing. So now if there are these fresh disturbances, latest is the Iran attack on Israel. And if this continues, now mm-hmm. we have the Red Sea crisis, we have the Russia-Ukraine war, which is ongoing, and now we have another set of disturbance. So all these cumulatively will lead to higher global crude oil prices, higher commodity prices, and that will weigh on the inflation of various countries, and that will have an impact on the interest rate decisions of a number of countries, because they will delay their interest rate cuts. There's a lot of assumptions that have been assumptions based on interest rate cuts happening this year.
Correct.
Now all those assumptions are being postponed. Now there is some people are saying that at least in India, interest rate cuts are off the table for this year. Even in the US, the probability of interest rate cuts is slowly diminishing. The governor himself made this statement 2 days back that, because of inflation remaining elevated, we need to keep interest rates higher for longer. So, and if interest rates remain higher for longer, that will weigh on growth, because that will lead to increase in costs of borrowing, because now the household savings are also getting depleted. So now the tight monetary policy will start pinching household budgets. It will start pinching the corporate borrowing.
Absolutely.
There could be an increase in corporate delinquencies. So so that could lead to a cyclical growth downturn. So all these assumptions, all these growth projections that we are talking about, they are based on the fact that we don't see any further disturbance, but we are seeing. So that is one major headwind. And the other headwind we talked about was the debt and deficit
levels.
And that's another concern that has been raised by the IMF's fiscal monitor. That's another report that came out 2 days back, which gives us a comprehensive picture of the debt and deficit levels in the global economy. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting report because it tells us about the general government public debt to GDP ratio, and also the fiscal deficits, the primary deficits of a number of countries. And there what we see, the key highlight is that, during COVID year, there was a big jump in the debt to GDP ratio.
Yes.
Overall, global debt to GDP ratio almost touched 100%. Next 2 years, there was an improvement in debt to GDP ratio. It was coming down. But in 2023, again, there was a rise
reversal
in debt to GDP ratio. So the progress that we saw in debt to GDP ratio was stalled in 2023. And and if we look at the projections by the fiscal monitor, they present a pessimistic picture on that front, because these debt to GDP ratios are likely to remain elevated.
And interest rates are high.
Interest rates are high. So that will compound the problem.
Yes.
That will aggravate the problem. So so those are the two factors. And again, debt to GDP ratio is high mainly because of US and China. And if we've talked about US, we can also talk about, we've talked about China, and in US also, if debt is high, it will lead to higher bond yields. And we've talked about the impact of US bond yields on all the other countries, because, for example, India's bond yield mirrors whatever is happening in the US bond yield. So if the US bond yield tends to rise, again, there will be a reversal of fund from India
to the US.
We saw 2023 was a good year because we had 29% return. FPIs were buyers. Mm. That thing could again change, because the bond yields in the US will likely remain elevated because of the higher debt and deficit ratio. So these are the various concerns, mainly the debt to GDP ratio, the various geopolitical disturbances that we are seeing, which will have an impact on inflation and will delay the rate cut cycle, which will have an impact on the defaults and the household budget.
Right. And also, if our bond yields kind of mirror what's happening in the right. US, then if ours also rise,
yes.
then it makes it more expensive for the government to borrow.
Government to borrow. And if government becomes more expensive, it becomes expensive for the corporates to borrow.
Right.
Because government bond is the benchmark for the companies borrowing. And we saw in 2023, all of this was good news because corporate bond yields were also low.
Mm-hmm.
And 2023 was a very good year for corporate bond issuances as well. A lot of companies tapped the bond market because of the lower interest costs.
Right. So this gives you quite an idea of, you know, when people talk about globalization and interconnected markets, this gives you an idea of exactly what that means, how something happening on the other side of the world can actually impact you in your house.
Yeah.
It can affect something like, you know, your borrowing costs. You go for a loan, things could become more expensive for you in the near future. So these are all big headwinds. But we also have an audience question from Dave. He asks, in your expert opinion, is India's growth, so that's the 6.8 that they've projected, is it good considering the various crises going on in the world? And or is it less given that India is a developing nation and more is expected from us? Do you think if things were normal in the world, India would have done much better, maybe double-digit growth?
So, if things would have been normal, definitely the expectation would have been higher. And we have this aspiration of becoming a developed country by 2047 that requires us to grow consistently at 9 to 10%.
Right.
So, but given all those, the headwinds that we've spoken about, given the possible slowdown in exports that we've spoken about, I think, 7 to 8% is a good growth and we need to sustain it. But along with the, these, headwinds that we are facing, there are a lot of friction that are there within the economy that need to be addressed to ensure a higher potential growth. You know, we should strive
right.
to achieve a higher potential GDP growth, and the various reforms that are needed in the medium to long term, those need to be addressed at this point in time to ensure that once these disturbances, these headwinds abate, we get back to the path of higher long-term growth.
Right.
And those are, we've spoken about the working age population, but that needs to be translated into gainful employment. We need to increase the labor force participation rate of women, and we need to improve the skill set. So these are some of the factors. And also, we focused on product markets. We need to now focus on factor markets. We need to make our labor market,
right.
our land, all these factor markets much more flexible, make our investments more flexible. Private investment needs to pick up. So all these host of structural factors that, will help in boosting growth in the medium to long term, they need to be worked on. So the headwinds, the external headwinds is not in our control, but these measures need to be continued to be undertaken so that we get on to the path of higher long-term growth as soon as possible.
No, absolutely. So there you go. That's the broad picture. India still remains a bright spot in the global economy. Our growth has been upgraded by several international agencies in the span of just 3 months. And so that's quite significant. At the same time, the developed world is not doing as badly as everybody feared, which is also great news. But coming to emerging markets and developing economies, China is doing worse than expected. Its growth has been downgraded. And this has a lot of ramifications for the global economy on various counts. It can impact India also on various counts. But that said, there are also some headwinds for India and the global economy. There's debt. There's the looming specter of inflation because of these various wars that are happening. Commodity prices are likely to rise and it'll likely impact India in terms of higher inflation, which means our interest rates will remain high, which means borrowing costs will remain high. Borrowing costs for everybody involved, government, corporates, and you and me. So, there are also various structural reforms that India needs to make to strengthen its growth and make it even more resilient to things that are happening in the world. As Radhika pointed out, we can't control what's happening outside, but within India, we can do various things to ensure that our growth remains resilient and strong.